AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. This hour of Rogan and Rodney brought to you by Wood Ranch. Award-winning barbecue. WoodRanch.com.
We want it.
Order online today.
AM 570.
An LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, here we go. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peet, AM 570 LA Sports. We are jammed today, a big three-hour show. I just walked in from Washington. Got up early this morning. There was some confusion about when I might be back.
Wait, you walked from Washington?
That's why I'm so tired.
Okay.
Just got here. Some confusion earlier yesterday about whether I'd make it back or not, but I'm here. Ready to go.
You are here.
I wouldn't want to
you
miss it.
You look fresh, Fred.
I don't know about that, but no, I'm ready to go. Okay, so let's get into it. First of all, I sent a tweet out last night, Rodney, and we talked on the air about the fact that tickets were going for $24. Now, this started a firestorm. Some people said, well, you could buy tickets for Dodger Stadium for $48. I checked some of the responses to the tweets, but I didn't really respond to them. I was just reading
it. Yeah, we looked it up, and you could. You know, you can buy some just to get in the door at Dodger Stadium. It was like $48.
Okay. But our point yesterday was $24.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. For playoff baseball, you got to be there for that.
Yeah.
I mean,
we talked about euchre seats. They were really up there.
But they, you know, the seats that were available.
Yeah.
I was up higher than they were in the press box.
Yeah.
Okay, so you could see. You could see.
Okay. But these are not the seats you're talking about, though. You're talking about there were empty seats that were in even better locations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So anyway, I take this tweet, I send it out, and people start reacting, and all of a sudden, they're saying, well, first of all, you took the picture of the seats too soon. And because traffic is bad, and because there was a metro crash of some sort, and everything was all jammed up. I can tell you point blank, those seats were empty the whole night. So that metro crash lasted for about 12 hours, or traffic was bad for about 18 hours.
Well, it is DC.
Well, yeah, and traffic is bad there.
You know, on the broadcast, Ernie Johnson was mentioning that at the beginning of the game that, you know, it's an early start. And people are still trickling in, getting off of work and in traffic. And so he had that narrative going for the first couple of innings about the crowd because that was a lot of the talk about how loud and how crazy and frenzy the crowd is in D.C. at the Nationals games. But he was kind of giving them a pass by saying it was traffic and an early start.
Well, the traffic is still going on because those seats are still empty. I'm telling you, I watched the whole game and nobody sat in those seats. The other thing, people said, well, the weather.
You think people like, wait, going back, go ahead.
No,
because we'll transition. I was going to say about tomorrow, you think people are getting off work tomorrow to be
early. So the weather was another issue last night, and people were concerned. In the forecast, I told you guys,
right,
was for rain. Okay, but we had mobile radar we were looking at. Our producer and our photographer had mobile radar, and we were checking it, and all of a sudden it looked like the rain was going to go past and maybe a small cell would hit. So then we went on and said they're going to play. It was 70 degrees at game time, and it was fine. Then the rain comes. Now, I have to tell you, the rain lasted about 4 minutes. That was the end of the rain.
Because it was coming down. From the TV, it looked like it was coming down pretty hard. And, you know, and it didn't feel like it was going to let up anytime soon. But it for that one inning, it felt like it was coming down really hard. And even the announcers were going, Frenchie and Ernie, we're talking about, whoa, this is the worst possible scenario for the Nationals because if it gets canceled or the rain's out or delayed or they got to come back and play tomorrow,
Scherzer's
out.
Right. Yeah, I was actually rooting for that.
Right.
Keep raining.
Yeah.
Stopped immediately. It was like 4 minutes.
It did.
And it was pouring and then it just stopped.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was the environment last night. So I said yesterday on the air to you, Rodney, Rich Hill needs to go 4 innings.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers need to get an early lead. If that happens, they win. Rich Hill went 2 2/3 innings.
But they got an early lead.
They got an early lead, but he did not go 4 innings. And I knew if they got to the bullpen too early, it would be a problem. So Dave goes and gets Kenta Maeda and brings him in. You're thinking, okay, now we're fine. Because I was sitting up there watching. I said, is that Maeda warming up out there in the bullpen? Sure mm-hmm. was. Good. We're good. Then he gets him. He takes him out.
Yeah.
And people wondered, why in the world would you take Maeda out of the game?
Oh, I was talking about Rich Hill. He had to take Rich Hill.
Rich Hill had to go.
Yeah, he had to go.
He had to go. That was it. And now here comes Maeda. Yeah. So then he takes Maeda out.
Yeah.
And that was the question. Why are you taking Maeda
out? Yeah, he's your long guy. He's been your long guy a little bit, right? He's capable of going, giving you three.
Let him go.
Yeah.
After the game in the news conference, because I sat there and listened to everybody, Dave said he had gone too much recently mm-hmm. and they couldn't keep him in. So they made the decision, you know, he'd only go so long, no matter what. And then they were taking him out.
And I think that also in that scenario, I think that they were wrestling with is, okay, let's play situational. Okay. If Maeda's spot comes up where we got a chance to score a run, we'll get him out of the game. We'll pinch hit for him. In that circumstance, I believe we had a runner at second base at that time with one out, and they pinch hit for him. My only concern, and I get that, I understand, because nobody knows. Who knows? Maeda goes, I can give you one. We heard that about, you know, why'd you take Rich Hill out of the World Series? And Rich Hill was the one that said, keep an eye on me. And I, you know, so who knows what behind closed doors, what Maeda was feeling like and why they made that decision. So I'm okay with that. But the decision to hit A.J. Pollock in that situation, that was the one that kind of baffled me, because there was a runner in scoring position, I believe, and it was one out, and Pollock ended up striking out, and now you're done with Maeda, and you're done with that spot. So that was the part that I was scratching my head on.
Yeah, and you pointed out yesterday, and correctly so, that maybe Pollock needs a night off here. Just give him a night off, get Beatty in the game. Okay, that happened. But when he sent him up, you're thinking, okay, maybe, Pollock's not had a whole night off, and it's a pretty big moment in the game. Maybe he'll come through. And he still looked awkward. He still struggled. Yeah. And that's not a knock against him. He's just going through something.
Right. And is that the right time to get him back acclimated? Maybe it's a, kind of like what they've been doing with Kenley a little bit late. High leverage situations he's not in. Low leverage situations you put him in, so there's not that pressure on him. And that situation for Pollock, tremendous amount of pressure on him at that at bat, because you're pinch hitting, so you're expected to come through in that situation. It's not like you got three more at bats to kind of get through it.
Right.
You got one shot. So, I was under the impression that he was just going to get the total night off unless it was an absolute emergency. He was the only guy left to go hit.
So, he hits, and then Urias comes in, Baez comes in, the floodgates are open.
Yeah. Here's another thing, and I know people are bashing Dave Roberts, about what he did and his decision, and, whether he went with his gut or he was going by the numbers and came to the pitch too much. You think about Martinez on the other side, the manager, because they said this. I don't know if you, because you were there.
Yeah.
But they were all over him about when Baez came in and Zimmerman came up, that everything in the book says, bring in the left-handed hitter, bring in Cabrera.
Oh, I can answer that for you.
Bring in Cabrera. There's no way Zimmerman should hit in this situation. The book is telling you, analytics are telling you this. And this is a big move for Martinez. It could blow up in his face and all that kind of stuff.
They were saying
Zimmerman,
that?
Oh, yeah. Zimmerman hits the three-run home run. And he hits a three-run home run. And they said they panned into him in the dugout and said, what a genius, gutsy move by leaving Zimmerman. He just went with his gut and went with his guy that is like the number one draft choice of the Nationals and been there the longest.
Right.
And he's the fan favorite. So he just trusted his guy in that moment because everything in the book said hit a left-hander against Baez.
Here's what Martinez said after the game about that. Because it came up. He said, and they didn't ask it specifically like that, okay? But now I understood what his answer was, because they didn't really say that. But that's what they were alluding to. And he said, look, I've been in this game a long time. I've seen a lot of things happen. And I'll tell you something. When basically the money's on the line, I'm going with the veteran guy. I know what the book says. I understand analytics. But, I've been in this game a long time. And if I've got somebody that has been there, if I've got somebody that's a veteran that has had success throughout his career, I'm sticking with that guy. Yeah. And I don't care what the book says. That's what he was referring to last night. And that was a pivotal moment in the game. Another moment in the game well, and it lasted for many innings, was Max Scherzer. Afterwards, he said, you know, because everybody said it's all hands on deck now for tomorrow's game, and will he be ready to go? I can assure you he will not be ready to go. He said, I am not ready to go.
Yeah, we were debating before the show who's all ready, because we were talking about the Dodgers staff and whether or not, you know, Ryu would be ready and anybody else would be ready. And then we talked about, and we'll get him in here. Vic said, oh, yeah, Scherzer will be going.
He's not. he said, I am not playing Wednesday. I am not pitching. He said, yeah. My arm was about to fall off. He said he was so spent that he actually was altering his delivery. Yeah. To try to get velocity on the ball.
You know what's interesting about that? That being said about him, you wonder if that's going to be effect on Strasburg tomorrow. You know what I mean? Because this is his third outing in, what, 5, 6, 7 days or whatever it is.
Yes.
You wonder if that strain on his arm is going to be the same thing when he hits the 5th, 6th inning. You know, how is he going to be effective from the start? That's going to be interesting. I know Dodgers fans are hoping that he's not. But the fact that Scherzer has said his arm is about to fall off because he's been worked. I mean, look, think about him. He's come out of the pen. He came out and got those 3 outs here at Dodger Stadium. So, you know, you never know. You never know how a guy is going to respond. And this is the third outing, and like I said, for Strasburg and a short amount of rest. So we'll see.
No, Scherzer was finished. I mean, done.
But he wasn't coming out in that situation. He struggled in that 7th inning.
He wasn't coming. Yeah. They were going to drag him out of there.
Yeah.
But they were going to drag him out of there because he wasn't coming out. Yeah, they told him before the game, Rodney, be prepared to throw 120 pitches.
Yeah.
They told him before the game, you may have to throw 120 pitches. You're going to throw them.
Yeah.
And then when that opportunity presented and the pitching coach came out, he wasn't going anywhere.
And he showed the shot, and he didn't even look at the pitching coach. He turned around and was mouthing. He was talking, but he wasn't looking at the pitching coach. And I'm sure Martinez was like, I ain't going out there. You go out there. I ain't going out there.
No, he wasn't going anywhere.
No, he wasn't.
He's done.
You love that, though. You love that from your guys. I mean, that's, you know, Clayton was like that. You know what I mean? Don't you take me out of the game. All those guys, the great ones, they think they can finish, and they want to finish the job, or they want to get out of that inning. So you love that competitiveness. And I, you know, as a young kid, I don't think there's anybody that wants the ball more than Walker Buehler in this situation.
Oh, he said he wanted it.
Absolutely.
You know, they asked him a question after the game. I'll let you know what that was.
Rogan and Rodney.
Rodney Page.
Red Rogan.
Weekdays, noon to 3, right here.
AM 570, LA Sports.
Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan, back from D.C. He's back from the Capitol.
I am indeed.
Yeah, you are, Fred. Looking good.
I don't know about that.
You're on fume, Fred.
I'm all right.
27 coffees later.
Come on. Let's go. So after the game, they asked Walker Buehler, and Rodney, you were pointing out that you think he'll pitch well tomorrow night. The question was, look, this is the fourth time you're going to see these guys this year. And the way the question was posed was, and that should give the hitters an advantage. Because they know they've seen you enough.
Yeah.
And his response was great. He said, look, I think I saw Colorado 5 or 6 times this year. They didn't hit me.
Love it.
He said, in a game, all you need to do is make the proper pitches. Now, he said that he had missed maybe 6 pitches the last outing. He threw 6 where he didn't want to put them.
Right.
He said, if I don't throw those 6, then I pitched a perfect game. I've done what I need to do. And he believes that he can put the ball where it needs to be. I mean, that's how highly scientific this is. He just doesn't want to miss with one of his pitches. And he's very confident that he won't. And if that's the case, and there are really 2 guys the Dodgers have to worry about, right? In the national lineup.
Yeah, it's Rendon and Soto.
All right.
I mean, Trey Turner a little bit leading off, I think, is their catalyst. If he gets on, they kind of feed off of that. And so you got to really try to keep him off the bases. But I think for the most part, you get past Soto, or you get past Rendon and Soto. Not that it's clear sailing, but their lineup does not scare you like the Dodgers lineup does.
Where
the seventh, eighth hitter in the Dodger lineup is a guy that can hit the ball out of the park.
So don't make a mistake to those 2 guys.
Right. And don't let those guys come up with runners in scoring position or runners on base.
I mean, and it sounds simple when you just put it like that. And obviously the game has to be played, but he knows that.
Yeah.
He answered that question last night. just don't make a mistake. And you've got to bet that he's the guy that wouldn't make a mistake.
Yeah. No, it's right. I mean, I think that's what got, you know, Rich Hill in trouble a little bit. He had the walks. And, you know, I think he was doing okay. He had the walks. And they loaded the bases that one time. And Rendon came up with the bases loaded. And he hit the fly ball to sacrifice fly, you know, which good hitters do that, right? They're going to find a way to get that run home. But I think it was because of the walks for Rich. So that's the situation you got to avoid, is having multiple runners or runners on base or in scoring position when a Soto or Rendon comes to the plate, because then it can become a crooked letter inning. You know what I mean? A crooked number inning.
All right, let's do this. Let's take some calls. Get your point. Make your point quickly, please, because we want to get to as many as we can here before the bottom of the hour. Sean in Santa Monica. Go ahead. You're on AM 570 LA Sports.
Hey, what's up, guys? I know everything rides on tomorrow's game, but I just want to get your thoughts on, if we do win and we advance, how badly does this team need Alex Verdugo to get to the World Series? Because just looking at the series, I see obviously Pollock struggling, and how effective the contact bat like Matt Beatty has been, and how important would that be potentially if we do get him for the NLCS or we don't? Would that really make a huge difference?
Sean, thanks for the call. First of all, I don't know how he is. Do you know Rodney?
No, I don't. I mean, it sounds like he's not even going to be available until at least the World Series. So if that.
Yeah, but Sean makes a valid point. Would it make a difference? You're damn right it'd make a difference.
The season he had, I think, and also defensively in the outfield, I think he certainly would make a difference. Now, listen, you know, I think Matt Beatty's had an incredible year. I think we're talking about – I think we're all in agreement that Pollock doesn't need to start the rest of at least this series and maybe the next because of his struggles right now. He's in a slump. He can be used situationally. But Matt Beatty got a hit last night. So, I mean, I think he's a quality guy. If he's given multiple opportunities, he's a good enough hitter that he can produce. But certainly, they definitely miss Alex Verdugo.
Let's go, Rod in Norwalk. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, one thing I didn't like, I hope tomorrow it gets fixed, is we had three rookies batting 6, 7, 8, and then the pitcher right after that. Matt Beatty swung out of 3 balls, no strikes, popped up when Max Scherzer was having trouble finding the strike zone. It kind of helped him out right there. I'm really hoping, you know, analytics wins 106 games, hasn't won us a championship. David Freese needs to be in that lineup. Last year, Chris Taylor helped us get to the World Series with an amazing catch. Year before, his bat. Those guys have to be in there.
All right, Rod. You know, thanks. Thanks for the call, Rod. Yeah. You know, he makes a valid point, Rodney. And look, I suggested this near the end of the season, and I was basically shouted down by whoever was on. Vasse, if he was on, would shout me down. I thought, God, you're going into the playoffs now, and that's great. Yeah. And these young guys really have had a good run. I mean, not so much Lux. He just got here. He's played a month. But do you want that many young guys when you're in the playoffs in the lineup? That doesn't mean they can't succeed. But God, that's a lot of young guys in the lineup for the playoffs.
I don't have a problem with the young guy. Alex Verdugo is a young guy. You'd die to have him in the lineup.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I don't have so much of a problem with the young guys as much as I have a problem when you have veteran guys that have done it that are not in there.
Okay.
Okay, I get Gavin Lux is your future, right? Second base, he's a young kid, and they played him a lot to get him ready. But you got Kiki Hernandez, who has shown you in the postseason.
He can play,
and he's clutch, and he's a veteran guy. Chris Taylor the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I think those got to be your guys that you play, and maybe if there's situations that come up, then you can have a Beatty hit against the right-handed pitcher or Gavin Lux hit against the right-handed pitcher. If say, Kiki or Chris Taylor have had a bad night and gone 0-for-3 in that situation, you need a changeup. But I want Kike's bat in there because I think he loves the big moment. He loves the spotlight. I know you save him for situations like you did the other night and he got the big double, but – man, you know, there's something to say that, and you said it earlier, Fred, about I'm going with the veteran guy. I'm going with the guy that's done that before, and I think you got to ride that a little bit.
And if I can insert, the veterans, Russell Martin and David Freese are hitting .535 combined in the series. The rest of the team is hitting .200.
Well,
go with the gut. At this point, it's game five.
Yeah, but he may be going with his gut.
I don't think so. The rookies have had enough. Good tastes for the rookies. Nice tastes. Now watch the veterans in Game 5 how it's done. And that's how you play the game. You got to go with your gut. Sabermetrics are now dead. You've got to go with the players who got you there, who can produce in the clutch. And that's the name of the game.
And I get the Will Smith last night because Russell Martin, you know, back-to-back catching nights at his age. I get that. I'd be shocked if Russell doesn't catch tomorrow.
Well, Dave said after the game, all along, Will Smith was going to catch. That was the plan. All right, let's go. Oscar in Baldwin Park. Go ahead.
Real quick. Tomorrow, I'm not too worried about it. I think that they're going to pull through. I'm waiting for one of the Dodgers have like on that run, like kind of like what Turner did a couple years ago. They just get hot and you know they're just hitting it out. They're just getting on base or and Bueller. I'm hoping tomorrow he has a historic performance and coming out party, man, because they need something right now, man. In Game 5, you know, everything they leave, put everything on the table. Kershaw coming out of the bullpen, and you know, I like our chances. I think we'll be all right though.
Thanks, Oscar. Appreciate it. One thing that happened last night, and I can't figure it out. Maybe, Rodney, you have some perspective on it. I know he hit Chris Taylor. The bases were loaded. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, you're going to hit for the pitcher. You're going to bring somebody in. Why wouldn't David Freese hit in that situation?
Yeah, only Dave Roberts knows the answer to that. I was thinking the same thing. You know, you're in a critical, you're down, 5-1 at that point, right?
Yeah.
Bases loaded. This is your opportunity to get right back in the game with one swing of the bat. And you got a guy sitting there that had been there and done that the night before. I was like, okay, here comes Freeze and Chris Taylor. And nothing against Chris Taylor because I love Chris Taylor. I think he's a clutch player too. But David Freeze in that situation with the bases loaded, I definitely thought he was coming.
Are you telling me you can't start Freeze? You must start Freeze. He may be the best postseason player of our time and space. Remember, MVP in the World Series with the Cardinals.
And NLCS.
He's been doing it.
Yeah.
And he's doing it with the Dodgers as well. And Russell Martin's been in 10 playoffs. You know, I don't know, 60, 80. How many games Russell Martin has been in? This is who you need in a Game 5. Guys who've been there before. Guys who will be calm. Poise under noise. Love the rookies. But it's time for the experience. Experience is divine.
Chris in L.A., go ahead.
Hey, guys, yeah, I'm very worried about tomorrow, and I'll give you two reasons. That the train wreck of a bullpen we have with Baez and Jansen and Kelly, and then also the fact that the last time the Dodgers were here, I was sitting in Dodger Stadium watching them get a perfect game thrown against them for 5 innings. You know, it's baseball. Just because you have the greatest, the most wins in the season doesn't mean anything in a one-game playoff. I think under 20% of the time, the best team actually wins the World Series. So the Dodgers could come out there and just not hit, or it could be a crazy play here or there, and the Washington Nationals end up winning the game, and we had, you know, the best record of baseball, or close to the best record of baseball. So, yeah, I'm worried. It's baseball.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Oh, he's absolutely right. I mean, this game is 50-50. There's no guarantee either way. I think we've got two exceptional pitchers that are pitching. The games could very well be a 1-run game, 1-0 or 2-1, and it's going to come down to breaks and who gets the, you know, who has the big hit in the right moment. But he's absolutely right. It's the reason why we were all rooting for the Brewers.
Right.
It's because of this right here.
This is the nightmare scenario.
Exactly. You got their guy Strasburg going in Game 5 against us, and their guy Scherzer, who was lights out against us in the game before. That's what we were worried about, and that's what we've gotten. But, again, you got to go through it to get to it. So this will only make us stronger going forward.
There's a lot of angst among the Azul, the Dodger fans, and I understand that. But, listen, if you polled Dodger fans at Camelback Ranch, you know, back in March, would you take this scenario to be in a Game 5 with 55,000 electric Dodger fans going nuts and you got Walker Buehler on the mound? Wouldn't you take that scenario at Camelback Ranch many months ago? I would.
No, they wouldn't.
I would.
What's my other scenario?
Why are we in an elimination game?
This is reality. This is the moment.
Why are we in an elimination game, for God's sake?
Well, this is reality. This is where we are. I mean, there's no more excuses. This is where we are. But you tell me 6 months ago, put me in the scenario with the Washington Nationals, and I got Walker Buehler and Clayton coming out of the bullpen, and a hot Miami sign, I'm there.
Absolutely. And think about this. I mean, even last year, think about where the Dodgers were to get to the World Series. They had to go 163, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Had to go 163. They beat they beat Atlanta in the NLDS, and they have to go seven games.
Right.
Seven games with Milwaukee to win that one. So, you know, it's not out of the realms. The Dodgers have been there and done that, where they've had several elimination games over the last couple of years. So they're familiar with this. Is Washington familiar with this?
No.
I don't know.
No, they're not.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. And it's at Dodger Stadium, like you said, Vic, 55,000 blue coming at you. Coming at you.
Coming at you.
Coming at you.
And let's say this.
And about, everybody get off work. Well, get there early.
That's what I was going to say. You know, when you get to these 5:30 starts, and we saw them in the first two games, yeah, there are empty seats. The difference is at Dodger Stadium, those seats are empty. Traffic is bad. People are coming from all over the place. The 5 is jammed. The 110 is jammed. But they get there.
Yeah.
Everybody fills the seats. Last night in Washington, those seats weren't filled. You can have any number of reasons why, but they weren't filled. They will be filled tomorrow night. I think Rodney makes a valid point. If there's any way possible, and we know what traffic is going to be like, try to get there a little earlier tomorrow. It would be great if the stadium was full at the very beginning.
And anybody out there, your employees want to go are going to the game, let them off work early.
Let them go.
Let them go at lunchtime.
Let's not be crazy. Lou in L.A., go ahead. Go ahead, Lou.
Dodger.
Come on, sweet Lou.
Holiday tomorrow. Dodger holiday tomorrow.
Yes.
Tomorrow we're going to win. Strasburg's going down, baby. He's going down. I ain't worried a bit. We're headed to the NLCS.
All right.
Yeah, Lou.
Thanks, Lou. Well, Lou's fired up.
Lou gets it.
Hey, look, on the other side, look, Atlanta thought that, hey, we can get through St. Louis. They're in a game 5 situation too.
Yeah, they are.
So, I mean, it's not easy once you get to the postseason. The teams are here for a reason. And it's because you don't play 162 games and be bad, you know, to get to the postseason. Teams are good. So you're gonna have a fight on your hands if you want to get to the World Series. And if the Dodgers want to get back there, they're going to have a fight on their hands. They win tonight, they got another dogfight against whoever they play, St. Louis or Atlanta. So, I mean, it's never going to be easy. And I don't think anybody wants it any other way. People are like, oh, it doesn't matter. You know, you won 106 games. Blah, blah, blah. This is why you won 106 games. Because you got this game at home. You got this game at Dodger Stadium with your fans. You don't want to be playing this game 5 in Washington. So this is why you play the regular season. The Dodgers won the games that they won.
Albert in Riverside, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening?
Albert.
Nothing much. I just want to calm down and take a deep breath.
Right.
And everything's all good. Like when you go on the road, what's expected? To take a game. You split the series. And that's what we did. Now we're coming home and we're going to take care of business and that's it. It's going to be a wrap.
All right. Albert, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go CB. CB in Pasadena. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got little Coke bottles on my knees. Yeah, I'm a little bit nervous. I think we'll be all right. But when the Dodgers take the field, there's only one thing, and that is to protect the shield. They move to the left. They move to the right. And one thing, they continue to fight. At the end of the day, I'm very optimistic. And when the Dodgers clear the bases for the Washington Nationals, it's going to be cataclysmic. Jackie Robinson will be dancing in the streets.
What is this,
heaven.
Beat poetry?
And
I dig CB's flow. I dig his flow.
All right, okay. Go ahead and flow.
And my prognostication, Big Blue will win 2-7. And with Dave Roberts and the Blue Crew, the L.A. Dodgers are stirring up a witch's brew. Go Dodgers. There is no tomorrow.
Yeah, thank baby. You. Come on now.
The October witch's brew reference.
There it is. All right. You know what? We're going to give Dodger tickets away. We're going to give Dodger tickets away, but not to beat poetry. JJ, go ahead.
JJ here in Pasadena. Listen,
JJ, we already said it to you. We already said it to you.
You got to.
All right. I don't want to upset you. I'm just riled up.
JJ.
I'm riled up, and I'll tell you why, man.
JJ, hold on. JJ. Don't listen to Fred. Do your thing, JJ. Come on how you want to come on. This is your time right now, JJ.
You are free.
Thank you very much.
You are free.
Fred, let JJ be JJ.
I've been, since the ninth last night, I've heard everybody talking smack about the Dodgers, and I want to say something right now.
Go ahead.
Putting Kenta Maeda, Dustin May, Kershaw, Bueller tomorrow. Come on. That isn't holding the Nationals that big. That's shutting them out. We got a team. Dave Roberts smiles the most out of any skipper in Major League Baseball. I didn't want Puig to go. I didn't want Kip to go. I don't like losing any Dodgers that I invest in. But look where they are right now. And they're coming back home tomorrow. And they're going to win tomorrow. And it ain't going to be by a little. We went to Washington and got 10 runs. Washington can win a game at home. It ain't a big deal. Scherzer is the best, man. I love that guy. I'm a Dodgers fan, but come on, man. The guy, come on. Let's be reasonable. Dodgers right. Come home. Dodgers win. That's how it's going
to
go down.
Hey, JJ, are you going to the game tomorrow night?
I went Friday and watched them lose. If you give me tickets, I'm going to the game tomorrow night.
Well, you're going. You're getting the tickets.
Yeah, come on, JJ.
You're kidding me.
Way to go, JJ. That's right, JJ and Pasadena.
Oh, man, I love you guys.
We're giving you tickets.
I love the Dodgers. I love you. I love the Dodgers.
All right, well, hang tight. We'll get your info. JJ, you're off to the deciding game tomorrow night.
Weekdays at noon. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peek. After the Herd.
And on the iHeart Radio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
Yes. Fitting, Kevin, fitting. Today's afternoon delight is Shoot It Out by TRU. This is the first track that was released by label mates from 2 Chainz' new collaboration with Atlantic Records. Along with 2 Chainz, this track features TRU label mates World, Sleepy Rose, and Hot Locked In. This track was released last week as a preview to the upcoming compilation album by the group that is slated to be released later this year. Again, today's afternoon delight is Shoot It Out by TRU.
See, I like good drink.
2 Chainz! You like good drink?
Good drink.
Not drink, but drank.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, Fred.
I like to drink.
Right on.
You know.
Get your drink on.
All right, let me tell you the story about the psychic.
All right.
So Jeff G., our buddy,
yep.
Up at Real 92.3, the sports dude, they had a psychic on their show last year talking uh-huh. about the Dodgers. I don't know who the psychic was, but the psychic predicted to a T what would happen. And the psychic predicted...
Wait.
Last year,
let's go. The psychic predicted everything that would happen in the playoffs with the Dodgers?
Yes. Yes.
All the way through?
Yes.
Including 163 and Atlanta. And,
Once
they hit the playoffs.
Right. The psychic predicted it, and the psychic said.
It was going to go game 7 with Milwaukee, the psychic said?
The psychic said the Dodgers would win those games and lose the World Series.
Oh.
The psychic said it.
Did he say it specifically how they would lose the World Series
no.
or in games or whatever?
No. He
didn't know
specific.
That.
But okay. He said they were going to win and lose the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
So they had him on this year. And they said, predict the playoffs. The psychic said, it's going to be really tough and really emotional and gut-wrenching. But they are going to go to the World Series, and it's not going to be easy. The guy that called it last year says they will win the World Series this year, but it's not going to be easy, and it's going to be gut-wrenching and difficult, but they will win it. Now, the psychic was right last year, and right now the psychic seems to be on point because this is gut-wrenching.
Yes.
But if you believe the guy from last year, the same guy who called it, this year he says they will win the whole thing.
Wow. Wow. Okay. I said this earlier, Fred. You can lose 8 games and win the World Series.
Only got to win 11.
Only got to win 11. You go 11-8.
All right. And now, from the court to the courtroom with Jacob Emrani.
All right, here comes our dear friend Jacob Emrani. Jacob, how are you today?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon to you. Let's just
good
start
afternoon,
with this.
Jacob. Real quick, thanks for the Instagram post, man. I love it.
All day.
My man.
All right. Jacob, we always talk about if you're in a ride share or an accident like that. What if you're a pedestrian and somebody hits you in the crosswalk? What should you do besides get up and call an ambulance?
You know, crazy, because, you know, the reason I wanted to talk about that today is because, you know, just this week we've had 2 cases that have come in, both people run over by the MTA. And one of our clients, obviously badly injured and passed away. She was a 78-year-old woman. And another one was an 88-year-old woman who had basically her hand out kind of trying to flag down a MTA bus, and the bus basically hits her and drags her. And she's alive, thank God, but what she's dealing with right now is potentially losing her right arm, the one that she was trying to, you know, flag down the MTA bus. And it's just so, you know, just so gut-wrenching because, you know, I like to meet my clients. I like to go, and I was at the hospital with this family, just the most amazing family, just didn't know their 88-year-old mom if she's going to survive, very independent. So what I want to share with everybody is that, you know, as pedestrians, we have a lot of rights. However, the problem is most people have had this thing put in their head that the pedestrian is always right. So you can run in the middle of the street, you can jaywalk, and if you get hit, the driver is going to be at fault. And it really isn't that simple. And, you know, what I wanted to share is that as a pedestrian, we really need to be able to make sure that, you know, hopefully you're not involved in a pedestrian case where there's a fatality or somebody who's been knocked unconscious. But most of the pedestrian cases that we have are most serious injury cases. And one of the biggest problems that occur is that people at the time of getting hit by a car are so emotionally and physically hurt that they start talking and and apologizing because most of the time they feel like it's their fault. And what I want to share with people is that be very careful, number one, after an accident, whether it's a minor pedestrian accident or a major pedestrian accident. Don't be so quick to tell your story. Make sure you're of the right sound mind. Make sure you have all your wits together when you start explaining, because the good thing about the MTA buses is that they've got multiple cameras. So we do a lot of MTA buses cases, and when we get those cameras, you get to see a front view, a side view, you get to see the, you know, picture of the driver and everything. And a lot of the times, what you think happened is not what happened. Now, of course, sometimes it's not in our favor, but the times that it is in our favor, then the police report has our client admitting to, you know, running or, you know, not paying attention, and that comes back to haunt you. So what I wanted to make sure that I share with everybody is that whether you're involved in a pedestrian accident, whether it's a car accident, motorcycle, I mean, all these type of accidents are happening every day, and they're increasing, especially in California, because we're just all in such a hurry. Don't be so quick to tell your story. Take your time, get your wit together, and if you don't remember certain things, don't guess, because sometimes cameras will give us more than what you're going to tell, and I just wanted to share that with everybody.
No, that's important, because a lot of people do believe that the pedestrian's always right, and it's not that simple, because there's a lot of crazy people out there doing some stupid things when they're walking around.
Exactly.
Jacob, you know, we got a whole lot of time to talk about Lakers, but right now it's crunch time for the Dodgers. How are you feeling about tomorrow night?
Oh, man. Just sitting here listening to Fred talk about the psychic was gut-wrenching to me, because I was just trying to wait and see, okay, so what did he say about this year? But you know, I got to tell you, we started talking about this weeks ago. One of the first times I was on with you guys asked me whether we should be worried about our bullpen. And, you know, I said, hey, let's give Joe Kelly an opportunity. He's now our guy. And we've talked about this every week. And I got to tell you, I mean, of course, as a fan, the bottom of my heart says they're going to pull it out tonight. But going up against, you know, Strasburg is not easy, man. This guy is just a magician, and you know, I feel like we're going to pull this out, but we really need to be a lot more calculated in terms of how we're bringing in these relievers. Not to say that it's Robert's fault, you know, it's not his fault that we strike out so much, but some of these, you know, movements of who comes in and how long you keep them in has got to be monitored a little bit more.
Yeah, well, let's look at it like this, Jacob. Tomorrow night, everything's got to be monitored a little bit more. Because if it's not, that'll be it.
Well, it's all hands on deck tomorrow night. I mean, we know that, you know, they're going to pull everybody in. And, you know, and this is why you win games. This is why, yep, you know, you win 106 games. This is why you finish, you know, what, I don't know how many games over, you know, over, 50% is because of being able to get that fifth game at home.
Yep.
And obviously as fans, you know, we're all going to be going out there. We're all going to be cheering. You know, Dodger Stadium is going to be rocking. But we got Bueller going. The bats are going to come alive. And, you know, I feel like we're going to get this and we're going to move on.
All right, Jacob. Well, hopefully when we chat next week, I'll either be in St. Louis or Atlanta. And we'll be talking to you from there.
We will be. We will be. Let's be positive.
All right. Have a great week, Jacob. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
AM 570.
And Rodney. AM 570 LA Sports.